So imagine for a moment that you've purchased tickets to a musical show or to a sporting event. So typically you would print out the tickets, put them somewhere safe, and you would wait until the event, counting down, looking forward with anticipation to what you were going to. However, this is not what things are like with eternal life. When you put your faith in Jesus, you don't get a ticket to put away safely and to hold on to while you wait for the big day for eternal life to begin for you. You don't store the ticket away for later use. Instead of, if we were thinking in terms of a ticket for a musical, and instead of just having a ticket, it's joining the cast. It's learning the lines. It's going to the rehearsals. It's taking part in what's going on. Or if we were thinking about it in terms of a sporting event, then it would be joining the team, going into training, learning how that team plays together and handling the ball. When we think about it in terms of faith, it's joining the church family. It's learning the teachings that Jesus has given to us. It's serving alongside others in the church family. It's not something that we're waiting for in a distant future, but something that we're taking part in right now. Today was to have been our annual general meeting when we could have celebrated all that had happened in the past year. The theme that we have today, the trustworthy worker, was not simply so we could think about Timothy and what Paul was saying, but also to acknowledge the trustworthy workers who are a part of our church, who contribute to the life of our church family. We are very blessed as a church family to have so many dedicated people putting in so much time into the life of our church, doing all sorts of tasks and involved in many different ministries. In a sense, we only need to look back to last Sunday evening and the Casserole Church to see the church team at work, the setup, the preparation, the things that happened during the meal, the packing down and putting things away. And the Casserole Church is only the most recent of those sorts of things we do together as a church family. Diana keeps a track of volunteer hours for our statistics, and in her report writes, as we can best estimate, 70 individuals invest about 146 hours per week. Isn't that amazing? 146 hours a week of voluntary work going into the life of our church. And so I want to acknowledge the dedication of each one who is taking part in that, that in a sense, as Jesus would say, the king would say, well done, good and faithful servants. And so the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said to him, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, as a worker who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. I remember when I was young and at school and it came to the end of year exams, my parents would say to me, all we want from you, John, is to do your best. And I think a lot of us would have heard a very similar message from our parents, just do your best. And that's what Paul is saying to Timothy, do your best. He also wrote, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. And so we have these words, approved, reliable, qualified. This is to be our aim as the people of God who are entrusted with God's word. Clearly, Timothy was not just to sit back and let time pass by. Rather, he was to be playing an active part in the life of the church. So how was Timothy to have his life shaped in such a way that he could be this trustworthy worker? Well, Paul highlights a number of issues for Timothy, and we can learn from these. First of all, Paul says, guard the good deposit. And so he wrote, what you heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. And this good deposit that Timothy was to guard was what Paul called the pattern of sound teaching. This teaching is sound in the sense that it is reliable, it is good, it is true, it is fit for purpose. This pattern includes Paul's emphasis on the trustworthy Savior and the trustworthy Word that we have already been thinking about. In the church, there were some unreliable teachers, some untrustworthy teachers who were leading the church astray, leading them away from the core doctrines, the core truths that Paul wanted them to hold fast to. And there are also for us doctrines that we dare not let go of, Christian truths that we need to keep at the center of what we believe and how we live. For Timothy, he was to guard these sound doctrines, and we also need to be learning them, guarding them, and applying them in our lives. We do not guard these solely in our own strength, but as Paul was saying, we guard them with the Holy Spirit to help us. Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. There is much to say about how the Holy Spirit might help us to guard those truths. We see that through church history and the way those truths have been guarded, cared for, and passed on from generation to generation so that we can also receive them and in our turn pass them on to others. The psalmist wrote, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And one of the ways to be able to guard this good deposit is to hide it in our hearts, to keep it in our minds and in our lives. And so do your best to guard the good deposit of sound teaching. But Timothy was also to fan his gift into flame. For this reason, Paul wrote, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Part of the wonderful provision of God to each of us is that he gives us gifts that we are able to use in the life of the church. And so Paul wrote to the Christians in Rome, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. And Paul listed some of those gifts: prophecy, serving, teaching, encouragement, giving, leading, and showing mercy. Now, that isn't a complete list, more a representative list of the diverse gifts that God has dispensed among us. Whatever our gift is, like Timothy, we are to fan it into flame. Is your gift burning as such a low ember, neglected or unused, that you struggle to know what it is? You know, there's not really too much mystery about the gifts that God gives to us. Perhaps not as much mystery as we might imagine. The gift is usually something we are interested in, something we find that we are good at, something that we usually enjoy. Often these gifts are intensely practical. Bezalel, one of the first examples of all this, is a way back in the book of Exodus, a craftsman. And God spoke of him saying, I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom and understanding, with knowledge and with all kinds of skills to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of crafts. And some of you are very, very good with crafts, with flower displays, with metalwork, with woodwork. Often I've heard people say, I can't preach or teach. I don't have any of these gifts. But oftentimes they're overlooking the gifts that God has given to them, sometimes in the crafts that they're good at. They overlook it. They don't see it necessarily as a gift from God. But when you bring a craft to help a messy church, when you nail some wood into the deck to repair it, when you oil a hinge, when you bake a cake for the holiday program, when you're using your gifts in these sorts of ways, then that is using the gifts that God has given to you, the skills, the talents for the life of the church. And so do your best to fan those gifts into flame. Paul also advised Timothy to pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Do that together with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart, Paul wrote. And so this path that we walk is not an individual pursuit, but something that we do with others, with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And this is where our teams and where our growth groups come into their own and are so helpful. Within them, we build trusting relationships of support for one another. With the sisters and brothers that are around us, we find extra strength and encouragement. With them supporting us, we know we are not alone. To pursue something like this requires that we focus on it, that we are involved in action towards it. It is not that we pursue these things to the exclusion of all else, as if they were our only pursuit, but they are very important things we pursue. Perhaps I'm reading a little bit between the lines, but it seems from recent reports that in the high performance pursuit of medals at the Olympic Games, something of the needs of the athletes was being overlooked. We shouldn't let that happen within our church family. As Christians, we are people of shalom, the peace, the wholeness of being, the flourishing of body and mind and spirit that is to mark the people of God. On one extreme, we may pursue things too hard. On the other extreme, we may not pursue them enough. But how can we pursue something if we don't think about it? How can we pursue something if we give little time to it? In our church, we have the 8 indicators of what it means to be spiritually healthy. And you'll see them in the email bulletin this week. One of them we've highlighted is serving with compassion. And so I invite you to think on that, or one of the others, if it suits you better, and to think about in this week, how can I pursue that in my life? Perhaps just write it. It's only a few words on a piece of paper. Put it in your wallet, your purse, or stick it on the refrigerator door to remind you. And simply ask God, God, how would you have me engage with living in love or growing in faith or one of these other signs of spiritual health? Paul wanted Timothy to be useful to the master. And the result is, when we pursue these things, when we guard the good deposit, when we fan our gift to flame, then we become of use to our Savior, to our God. Paul wrote that those who are doing their best to be trustworthy workers will find they become useful to the master and prepared to do any good work. A trustworthy worker, useful to God, and prepared to do good work. That's what we're called to. That's what God seeks. Not someone who is a ticket holder with the ticket stuck away in a drawer somewhere for future use, but someone who will be useful right now, today, in some way, being used by God. And that's what we find in our AGM reports. People being useful to God through the teams, the gatherings, the ministries that we have. When you feel that you are being useful to God, that will give your life a new dimension of purpose and meaning. Imagine if each of us was to be increasingly useful to God and prepared to do good work. Imagine a church that was filled with such people. And so today I want to acknowledge you, because the people of our church are like this. I want to thank you for all that you have done in the past year as people who are useful to the Master and prepared for good works. That might be for us a little different while we're in lockdown, but how will we be useful to the Master? Is there someone you could call? Is there someone you could encourage today? And so I encourage you, keep up the good work. All of this to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.